everybody. Welcome to episode 171 of your Overseas Connection. Today is June 5th, 2012, and we're the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And I guess you could say this is our special, not-so-special E3 podcast because it's going to kind of be devoted to E3 for the most part. Big time in the industry. But before we dive into that, I suppose we should dive into who's with us today. I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, and with me this week, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Hello.
How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. How are you, Greg?
I'm fantastic.
Good to hear.
Family's all good?
Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. Also joining us this week, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yo.
Yo.
Biggest disappointment for E3, no Minecraft announcements. Hello, everybody.
Maybe next year, Rich. Maybe next year. All right. Also joining us this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
There's other games that exist other than Minecraft? What the hell is that?
Swear to God, you sounded just like Stewie there.
Waking up that book.
Nice.
How are you, Greg?
I am good. I'm good.
Good to hear.
I've been religiously in front of the television, much to the annoyance of my wife, watching as much E3 coverage as I could possibly fit in the past 2 days.
That is completely the opposite of what I've been doing.
Yeah. Greg, I've got to go way around that with the old missus situation. Do what I did. Pretend that you're going to decorate the bedroom for the bank holiday weekend, which is what we've had over here. And then when you're up there, watch everything live. Brilliant.
See, the problem is my wife knows me far too well to know I would never voluntarily decide to redo the bedroom.
What are you up to, Greg? She would say.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, she would figure it out one way or another. So yeah. All right. Well, we're real briefly talk about what we've been playing the past week, and then we will just get to the heart of the matter, which is E3. So right about now, let's talk it up.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing, Mr. Matthew, why don't you lead us off? Skyrim, I know, has been on the plate. Is it still there?
That's it.
It is a meaty little beast, isn't it?
I don't think I'm ever going to finish. Like, I was realizing today, I probably missed 80% of Oblivion, right? Because when I played Oblivion, it was on the 360, and all I was trying to do was get the achievements, and so all I did was the things for achievements.
Right.
And I probably missed 80% of the quests. Whereas with this one, I don't really care about the achievements, and I'm just kind of playing the game and trying to do all the quests I can find. Probably never going to finish it.
And you're actually enjoying the PC version quite well, aren't you?
Well, as I mentioned before, I like the fact that there's all kinds of free content out there for it, you know, different little tweaks and fun stuff. So, yeah.
You've changed, Chris.
You are not
changed,
the
man
we knew before.
I've grown.
You've left your people behind.
Turned your back and walked away.
My Xbox is kind of lonely in the other room. It's like, dude.
Hey, remember the fun times we had, Chris? Oh, okay, well.
Hey, guys.
Maybe.
Remember when I was Batman?
Well, maybe your Xbox will give you a reason to come back to it after this week.
Maybe.
Or maybe not. You never know. All right, Mr. Mike Chin.
Yo!
What have you been playing this past week?
Played a little bit of Ghost Recon.
Yes?
With you.
Yes. We had quite the little session of Ghost Recon, I believe, Saturday, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't remember these days rolling to one. But I do remember thinking, I'm not really looking forward to playing this, but I'll just play it anyway. And then I really enjoyed it. Like, I forgot how much fun it was from the beta. So, yeah, good.
Good. Glad you enjoyed. Anything else?
Not really. I've been playing hours and hours of Minecraft. I can't stop digging. Dig. Why am I playing this? I often tell myself, why am I playing this game? This game is a massive waste of time. It's absolutely pointless. But I just keep playing it. I cannot stop playing Minecraft. It has got, it's causing to me, Greg. I can't stop playing it. It's just, oh man, I was digging, I was mining in my dreams the other day. I cannot stop playing it. It's brilliant. I love it.
I do have to wonder if with all the amount of people going into the gate server and playing there, that if eventually, because everybody, at least these days, seems to be mining, that you guys are just going to cause a lot of collapses and that the terrain of the world will change.
Well, the terrain doesn't really collapse in Minecraft. But there's so much...
There are cave-ins.
But there's so much... like map yet to be explored. And in fact, I was playing with Minecraft the other day, and Bongo the Sand came on, and he didn't really know much about the games because he's a complete noob. So I, Bongo, you're, and then he went in the world, and I says, oh look, everybody's kind of in this corner of the map, like on the other kind of rest of the map, no one's really there. And he decided to go on the opposite side of the map and said, this is Bongo Land there. So there's so much left, you know. I sometimes I go into my, because I'm building the castle. Basically, all I've been doing is landscaping. I'm just making a massive ditch, and that's all I've been doing. Bangham Assassin has been very kind enough to lend me iron tools instead of steel tools, because they chip into stone quicker. But of course, you know that, Greg, because you play them. And because I was using like stone ones, and they just take forever, so I was using iron ones. So, yeah, I've been landscaping. I've just been making a big ditch. I'm making a castle at the moment. And it's funny.
The world needs ditch diggers, Mike. The world needs ditch diggers.
It's funny because, like, you know, the next day I'll come on and something else is, someone's been in my house, planted a tree in the middle of my fucking pool. Thanks for that. that was Skull. Me and Skull are neighbours, by the way, Greg. You'll be pleased to know. What I was going to do, this was Dana's suggestion. He said to me, why don't you get some black wool, right? And leave it in the middle of his house so it looks like a turd. but I couldn't find any black wool. So, and there's also someone's put snow in my house. Was that you, Skull?
That wasn't me, no. But I know John Mouse has been up to some mischief.
If it wasn't you, I would have guessed it was him. Because you, John Mouse, and Thooper are my neighbours, right? And I don't think Thooper would do. He's far too busy in the Netherlands. So it's either you or John Mouse. And to be honest, John Mouse, Greg, for the information, I know this is fascinating, yeah. And I know Chris has already fallen into, you know, some kind of sleep coma. But, right, John Mouse just made a big statue of a penis right next to my house, just for no reason.
did you hear about him changing your sign as well? You know, he put Chinner.
Did I?
Did you see that? Yeah, you had a sign called Chinny, didn't you?
Well, the last one, it's on the front of the house.
Yeah, and he went in and he put "is gay" underneath it. Yeah,
he should have left it.
No, well, this is it. The server got ditched on Saturday afternoon,
and it
lost it, so it vanished. But he told me not to tell you as well. But hey ho.
Well, it's true. So, like, you know, I would have pissed myself if I seen that. So, right now, you saying that, Skull, I might be, Greg. I'm a professional podcaster, as you know.
Right.
I've been doing this for years. I might be playing it now. I'm not saying I am playing it now. I might be. This is all kind of in the air. Right. If I were to be playing the game now, not saying I am.
Right.
Again, it's important, if I were.
Right.
I might go up to John Mouse's house right now, if I was playing it, and fuck his shit up. So, Not in a bad way. Maybe I'll just write some profanity in these walls. I don't know. But I'm going over there. No. If I was playing. But I'm not. Because I'm
a
professional.
If you were playing. Right.
Yes. Apart from that, yes. Greg, you know what I'm going to do live on the show right now? This has kind of scared me. I don't want to do this.
Pass gas?
Right. I don't know what that is. But I'll move on. All right. I have played something else. I'm all over the place today. I played Halo Anniversary yesterday, last night.
Okay.
That, look, because I'm a massive, massive, massive Halo fan, and Halo 1 fan anyway. And I just love it. And I'm playing it with the person who I played it with back then, 10 years ago. All right?
Okay.
So, yeah, it's great. The only problem is that the whole pressing the back button to go into the retro version, it's very distracting because you just stop every 5 minutes and just go, oh, wow. Oh,
right, right.
On. And it, sometimes me and Ben, I'm playing it with Ben, we go, oh, is this the old version or the new version? And then we click back and it's, oh, this is the old version. Okay. Yeah.
It is amazing to see how bad that game looked,
but
comparatively speaking to now.
I've been playing it mostly in the old version because... Just because, like, I just prefer it. Like, I don't know. I just like it because it makes me think of being fucking 10 years younger. And I can't believe it because who would have thought 10 years from now when I first played this game, I'd still be playing it and thinking, oh, these were the days. You know, like if you'd have told my 10-year-old self, oh, you'll be playing this anniversary edition of this, it's like, no, I won't. Right.
Right.
Well. At the same time, you'll be playing a game where it just basically looks like shit, and you'll be digging a lot. No, I won't. I'll be playing some futuristic magic shit. No, I'm playing Minecraft and a 10-year-old game. So that's what I'm doing in my life. Fantastic. And you know what, Greg? I wouldn't change it. I've just found John Mouse's house, by the way.
I just seen you walking underneath, mate. I'm up here, miles away.
All right. So are we having a game?
If
I was
playing the
it.
Game.
But
right,
I'm not,
right.
Because I'm a pro. Have we turned this podcast into a Skype chat on Minecraft school? By the way, we just changed.
It's possible.
No more Minecraft.
All right, Mike. Thank you for that epic recap.
Woo! Woo!
Rich, what about you? We know Minecraft.
Yes, you do. You know that. I'm not going to say anything else about that. And yes, I did plant the tree in Malik's house. Ghost Recon. Okay. Had a good session on that. Thoroughly enjoyed that on Saturday. Look forward to some more of that.
Has anyone completed the campaign yet?
I haven't even thought of it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think any of us have completed the campaign yet. That's relevant to later on in the show. That's foreshadowing.
Ooh. I'm waiting for my other mate, Marsh, he really wants to play it, so I'm waiting for him, because it's co-op, I believe you told me. So
yes, there's co-op in the campaign, there's co-op in the guerrilla mode, and then, of course, multiplayer. And Rich, you and I have tried all three modes.
Yep.
What's your favorite?
I'm
guessing unlock guerrilla or campaign.
Guerrilla I do like immensely. I like that. But if we're talking multiplayer, I like Conflict, which we all know, because it was great. I think that's like their linchpin one. I do like Conflict. I like Decoy. I'm really into the Decoy as well.
Yeah.
We had a good few games of them. We found that a bit confusing on Saturday, though, where we had six or seven people, wasn't it?
Right.
And we couldn't get in to a normal game.
The way the squad mechanic works is a little quirky. So it's, and I don't know, I can't remember if it was because of the game type we were trying to play, but we had six people, and when we tried to add a seventh, it wouldn't let us add a seventh person to the squad online. But yet in the online multiplayer, it's eight on eight, 16 total. Two squads of four. So the game had been splitting us up into squads of three and two when we were only five people. So I was kind of trying to figure out why it wouldn't have split everything up, but it for whatever reason wouldn't let that seventh person onto our squad. But I wonder if that had to do with the game type. I'm not positive.
Yeah. Yes. Answers, please, on a postcard. So that was it for me, really. Just Minecraft and Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Shout out to everybody that did join us. I'll get some names out. Maverick, Steve-O-Matic, and Mark Annex, and Greg, of course, and Mike.
Hello.
Who was spawn camping like a bastard.
Yes.
Yeah, you bloody well was on that private game.
What?
Oh, you guys were so hosed on that game. That was the one where we were just destroying them. We had them pinned in their own side, and they could not get out to save their lives.
I can't remember. It's I've slept since then. I can't remember.
It's a good tip, though, as well, though, for the multiplayer. If you set up a private match, you do get to play with every single toy in the game. So
yes, that was my one advantage for a little while, and then I let it out that you could mod the weapons, and so everyone was like, "Oh, really?" I'm like, "Damn it!"
Yes.
So yeah, but no, it was good times. It was good times, and probably a good key tip for people when you are getting spawn camped like that, and you're having a hard time breaking out. Instead of just everybody kind of spawning in the spawn area and then trying to make it out, the better tactic, at least I seems to be getting one person, seeing if they can make it out or get to an area that, you know, potentially has some cover, and then allowing squad mates to spawn on you at that point.
Yes.
It's easier for one person to make it out than several people trying to bust out, because you draw more attention to yourself. So anyway, and smoke. Smoke works pretty well in that instance.
Yep, I was using loads of smoke.
Oh. But anyway, well, yeah, Ghost Recon was the only thing on my playlist this past week, so
really?
I won't go into
that
either. Yes, yeah, that was pretty much it. Wow. It was a busy weekend for me, family wise. So Ghost Recon was pretty much all I got to play over the past past week. But I did try to get in as much as possible. Love the Ghost Recon. All right, so I guess right about now, normally we'd be covering new releases, but because it's E3 week, honestly, there's nothing. So there's nothing to cover on the new releases side, so we are just going to dive into our E3 coverage.
E3.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so E3... in case anybody doesn't know what E3 is, that is the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Oh, sorry, Greg, gaming test.
Almost failed the gaming test. I won't say the biggest show, because certainly Gamescom is bigger in people-wise, and even probably TGS, the Tokyo Game Show, is bigger people-wise, but
the show that all the developers kind of wait.
It's the media event.
Yeah, it's the big media event where everything gets revealed, or a lot of things get revealed anyway.
Yeah. So over the past couple of days, we've had 5 different press conferences take place. Jeez. From Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, Sony, and Nintendo.
The usual suspects, right? Just all the they always do. Those 5 always do one.
Yes, they always do one. Microsoft
is always
EA,
a little bit weird.
It's usually horrible.
Did it live up? Did it do well?
No. We'll talk about that in just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
The way we're going to cover this, we're going to go through each conference as it appeared in the schedule.
In real time.
So Microsoft was first up.
Okay.
They let everything off Monday. And so I went through and made some quick notes on just kind of each little piece. I figure we can comment as needed as we go through it, and then give impressions if you actually saw the press conference, or if you had any, you know, long-lasting impressions or thoughts about any of the particular games, you can comment on that too. So at the Microsoft conference, they opened up with a bunch of demos. They started off with Halo 4. They moved in. They had... Tomb Raider, Splinter Cell Blacklist. They had a Resident Evil 6 demo. They then covered over a Forza Horizon kind of video montage clip. It wasn't really a hands-on demo, but they did demo the game, ironically, after that in a Spike TV thing. They had a little Fable the Journey montage. They had a Gears of War Judgment announcement. South Park, The Stick of Truth, is the South Park RPG. They announced that. Then they had some other arcade titles, Ascend New Gods, which kind of reminded me very much of God of War. Loco Cycle, which I have no idea what the game is going to be.
Loco Roco.
Matter, which is a Kinect-enabled kind of puzzle game.
Is that the Gore Verbansky one, blah, blah, blah?
That reminded me of Portal.
Maybe.
Yeah,
yeah, it felt a little Portal-ish, yeah.
And
yeah.
Halo.
Yeah, Guilty Spark.
Yeah.
They did have EA come out and talk about some Kinect integration with Madden and FIFA. So using voice controls to change your formations, make substitutions.
Pass the ball!
They did a Dance Central onstage demo / concert with Usher. Which,
really?
Depending on if you like Usher or not, yes, he was on stage singing live.
Yeah.
Exactly. They had a bunch of TV partners announced kind of expanding their, you know, again, TV portfolio. The NBA, the NHL are coming. Expanded ESPN coverage. They're now actually getting Monday Night Football. They talked about Kinect expanding its language support, which, again, this was kind of some of the, I would call the lowlights, you know, as gamers, not probably particularly interesting, but to the industry, it's noteworthy because it's expanding out its reach. They also had a demo of the Wrecketeer, which is another Kinect game that's kind of like Angry Birds as you're blowing up castles and wrecking castles. They announced a new Microsoft Music service. It's now no longer Zune.
Yeah.
It's going to be called Xbox Music. In fact,
yeah, but
the interesting thing...
Making, wasn't it? What should we call
it? The interesting...
music.
Xbox. The interesting thing I took from that was that it seems like they are moving... Xbox is their new brand for everything entertainment, it seems. And I think they're really embracing Xbox. They also announced a big partnership with Nike. And they're going into and creating a collaborative exercise game with Nike and having a huge partnership with their online resource site as well.
Because everybody wanted one of those.
Exactly.
Another exercise game.
And then the last piece, which I thought this potentially is one of the bigger announcements of the show, but seems to be getting glossed over a little bit by a lot, which is a new app called Smart Glass, which in essence will allow any tablet or smartphone, and when I say any, I mean iPhone, HTC, you know, Samsung, Android phone, Windows 7 phone, to communicate with your Xbox and control things on the TV.
I have to disagree with you, Greg. I do not think that's been glossed over. I think that was made a lot of posts. If you were checking the websites afterwards, it was on fire about that.
Some people
and Twitter.
Were making a big deal out of it. Some people were glossing over it, saying it wasn't that big of a deal. Interestingly enough, it was Michael Pachter that said in one of the giant, I think the Giant Bomb post podcast, he said probably one of the biggest announcements out of E3. Is the smart glass, because it instantly turns any TV into a smart TV using your existing tablet, iPhone, iPad, whatever.
Yeah.
And because it's going to support any device.
I think that was the saving grace as well, because to be honest with you, I want to impress with the whole of Microsoft's announcements, really. Some interesting third-party stuff.
There definitely was some interesting third-party stuff. I thought the standouts for me from the demo side, Halo 4 absolutely impressed me. Splinter Cell started off a little shaky for me, but halfway
What's
into
he doing
that
in
demo,
Iraq?
really got good. what's he doing in Iraq?
Go on.
You know Sam Fisher, yeah.
Right.
Is that a different voice actor for him?
It is. Michael Ironsides is not voice acting Sam Fisher.
Why?
He declined. From what I understood, he liked the old Splinter Cell Conviction because he felt like they were getting kind of going back and gritty with the storyline. And because they were going back to being kind of a tech spy, he didn't want to be involved with it.
Well, it's stupid. It's not him.
Well, I also wonder, and again, we don't know for sure. I believe this is Sam Fisher from everything I saw. But you almost wonder if they're doing a reboot of the series.
It doesn't look like it to me because it looks very similar.
No,
to.
It did look very similar, so I think it's going to be hard to do a reboot.
Hey,
but
look, don't get me wrong. I've spoken many times about how much I love Splinter Cell Conviction. I think it's a great game, but I was like, that's not him.
But that game in motion looked pretty impressive.
It was pretty good. When he was walking down, he's like, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo. That was exactly what happened. You don't need to watch the video on it if you haven't watched it.
Technically as well, one of the things I spotted, and it seems to be quite a lot of a theme with a lot of the games that we're going to talk about, is something was on about with Max Payne just recently. Man. The whole thing with cutscenes transitioning into gameplay.
Right.
Seems like a lot of them are getting a handle on how to do that really well. And
Uncharted started it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Splinter Cell was another one. Yeah, I was very impressed with it. Yeah. Very good.
Well, speaking of Uncharted, another game that really impressed me, Tomb Raider.
Oh.
Lara Croft becoming the new kind of Uncharted, if you will. I was a little taken aback by how action-y, like shooty action-y, that demo was, but the realities are, I think for any demo, you're going to have to impress an audience. You almost have to have the shooty bits.
Because like Tomb Raider is all about kind of climbing shit, I suppose.
Yeah, it's usually more about exploration, but this is a reboot. It is a new Lara Croft. I personally love the direction they've taken Tomb Raider, so I can't wait to see more. I'm pretty excited.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. She can take a few hits, man. That parachute jump that she did. Damn!
Yeah. And then South Park. The Stick of Truth.
Is that any good?
Absolutely loved what I saw.
It's an RPG, probably, right? Is it RPG?
Yes. RPG feels just like an episode of South Park.
Sweet.
Looks, feels, sounds, and also probably one of the best onstage demos, just in the fact that the guys that came out that are the creators of South Park came out, didn't feel staged or canned at all. They made fun of the glass, the smart glass announcement, and they just came out and did their thing, had some funny little bits, and they nailed it, didn't they? Oh, completely nailed it. It was by far probably the best guest appearance out of the show, if you ask me. But I mean, for me, all in all, I thought Microsoft did enough of what they needed to do for this year. Clearly, and I think this is foreshadowing for both Sony and Microsoft, it seemed like nothing was being announced beyond spring of next year.
The show before the show, man.
Yep.
The show before the show.
I think what they showed was definitely enough to get us through to next E3. I'd give them a round of B. It wasn't a great conference, personally, but it wasn't a disaster like so many people wanted to make it out to be.
Mike, stop trying to put me off. Yeah, I'd give it a C. C, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, I guess from there, I believe it was EA was up next. And EA, and I may have missed a few games off of EA, but basically Battlefield 3 Premium was announced. This is their Call of Duty Elite copycat.
Tell you what, I didn't hear much reaction to that.
No.
What's this?
Battlefield Premium, $50 a year, will get you all the map packs free, gets you extra in-game content.
So Call of Duty Elite, did you say? Sorry, what's this?
Yeah, sorry, yes. Battlefield 3, Call of Duty Elite.
Oh, I never said what I was going to do live on the show. I was going to look up my hours I spent on Minecraft, on Raptor.
Yes, well, why don't you go look at that while we
26,
talk about
it. 26 hours.
So this, to me, was very underwhelming, especially because as a person that bought this game day one, part of the premium Battlefield 3 service is getting the Back to Kirkland maps free. Well, yeah. I already got them free, so there's no value in that to me. It just to me was such a just cash grab. It really saddened me. There was a UFC announcement that was kind of their big coup. They stole the UFC from THQ, so EA will be coming out with a UFC game sometime in the near future. They didn't have the actual game or announcement of when it's happening. Just Dana White coming out on stage talking about it.
Yeah.
They did demo out some sports games, the FIFAs, the Maddens. Medal of Honor Warfighter was demoed out. looks pretty good, but I honestly thought the last Medal of Honor game looked good, so I don't know how great or not great this game will be.
Is it all, is it, it's my brother Danger Close guys, is it again? Is
yeah.
It?
Right.
Yeah.
DICE is not involved in this one.
They're not doing the multiplayer this time.
Yes.
It's all their engine, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the last
Star Wars.
Sorry, Greg. Sorry, everyone.
It's all right. What?
I was just saying the last game looked felt like two games we won. Two games, one disc, Medal of Honor. Yes.
Well, sadly, so did Battlefield 3.
Bong.
Literally, it was two games on two discs.
Yep.
Crisis 3, Star Wars: The Old Republic. Sim City was also announced, and then Dead Space 3 was announced and shown off.
Co-op.
Yeah, and I honestly think they are going to kill this franchise.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
It reminded me of Lost Planet. I mean, you had giant monsters with the glowy orange bits that you're supposed to shoot. It seemed like they had crash landed on some frozen planet.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
And you had the co-op stuff going on. I mean, it was Lost Planet.
Well, you know, never say never, because Dead Space has been good so far. So.
True. But yeah, EA, as a whole, at least for me, was a very uneventful show. Kind of left me going, okay. Next up was Ubisoft. Yes. And Ubisoft... I think surprise press conference. Relatively competent in its presentation.
No, they had no laser gun stuff.
No laser gun stuff. They had Aisha Taylor out there. They had the one downside. They had this guy. He is a YouTuber that's fairly famous, and I forgot what his name was, but he was kind of the backstage guy. And, yeah.
Who was he?
I don't remember his name. You'll have to look it up, Mike. I don't remember his name, but...
I think she got annoyed with him at one point, and I don't think it was staged as well, because he was trying to take over the whole thing and everything, and you could tell he seemed a bit pissed about it.
Yeah, he was just, you know, your typical annoying YouTuber. So that aside, a lot of games on display. I'll start with some of the kind of lower-end stuff. Rabbit Lands, Your Shape Evolved, Sports Connection... Shoot Mania, which was probably the low light of the conference, if you ask me, which is their shooty PC shooter game. Just not a good demo of the game. So that game may be amazing, but it certainly didn't seem that way. Avengers Battle for Earth, which is a Kinect and Wii U exclusive title. Looks halfway decent. We'll have to wait and see on it. Then we got into some of the more of the interesting games. So there's a new Rayman game coming that looks great. There is a Zombie U game coming, which it's literally called Zombie U, which kind of a Left 4 Dead-like game. You have one life, and you just have to see for as long as you can survive. Looks fantastic, and that's on the Wii U exclusively.
Do you actually use the pad on it?
Use the pad.
Yeah, quite good use as well. So you like scanning environments and stuff. Trying to pick up where the zombies are, and that was quite cool.
Just Dance 4, which is one of their biggest franchises. Yeah, I mean, let's face it, there's always going to be more Just Dance games because they keep selling. Splinter Cell Blacklist, I keep wanting to call it Conviction, again on display. Looks great. Assassin's Creed 3 was everywhere this conference, and looks fantastic. Cannot wait for that game. And then the biggest surprise, I think, of E3, a new game called Watch Dog.
Yep.
You haven't had a chance to see the trailer for Watch Dog.
Mark's going to love it.
Yeah, this game is, think, GTA.
Oh, God. Oh God.
Yeah.
Open world. But with kind of a...
Who's making it?
Ubisoft.
No, Ubisoft. Yep. Who's making it?
Yeah. I don't know the developer behind it, but it looked so good and was so seamless. I really thought this was not a current-gen title, but a next-gen look. It was the way they ended the show. They finished up with it. You're part of the, you know, what I gathered, at least, is you are part of this group that kind of is like the overlooker, if you will, the watcher. You know, you're in control. You can control electronics. You can control information. It seems like it's a very espionage-like game, but set in this huge GTA-like environment. Ooh. And at one point, you use a device to shut everybody's cell phones off.
Right.
And
not just that. It's like an EMP.
Right.
You press the button and it shuts everything down in the area. And you see every single person's reaction to it. The fact that somebody's been cut off on a phone call. There's an outside broadcast team doing a TV show. They're going apeshit because the camera's not working properly. But he just looks really cool, yeah.
And then at another point, he uses it to change a stoplight from red to green to cause a car accident.
Yeah.
And then he goes after this person he's trying to take out. So just really cool stuff. And looks phenomenal.
And one thing I noticed as well was the acting in it, where he's interacting with the guy that he knows about what he's doing there and everything. The acting seemed superb on it. Really top notch.
When's it coming out?
There's no release date. Clearly a 2013 game. Ubisoft supposedly has gone on record saying this is coming to PC, Xbox 360, and PS3. But I'm wondering if that may not just be placeholder and this might be a next-gen title. I have a hard time believing that the PS3 or the 360 can run that game that well and look that good. And if we're going to get a watered-down version of it, I'd rather them hold off and put it on next-gen, to be perfectly honest. But absolutely, standout game. And potentially makes Ubisoft the best conference of
E3. Wow, who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. But, all right, well, let's move on. We'll tackle Sony next.
Sony!
And Chris, are we keeping you awake? Chris might be asleep at this point.
I haven't heard much in the way of things that I am interested in and didn't already know about, I guess is what I'm saying.
Fair enough. Well, Sony might have a couple games that might be of interest. Sony started off, they start off their conference with Beyond Two Souls, which this is the new David Cage game. It looks fantastic.
No, it doesn't.
It really does look good.
So Stu saying this is the Uncanny Valley. I was like, bloody hell, you can tell it's a game, you willyhead.
Now, you can tell it's a game, don't get me wrong, but it does look really good. The story seems to be pretty interesting. The real question is this going to be another Heavy Rain kind of controlled?
Of course it is. It's all they've done.
I went back. I mean, I've not played Heavy Rain. And I went back over the trailer because that was one of the concerns that I was thinking about it. And if you look at that trailer, there was only one thing in it that seemed to be actually gameplay related.
So when she jumps off the train, I suppose, yeah?
No, not necessarily that. There was a bit earlier on where you saw her actually, I think she can project herself into the bodies of other people.
Oh, yeah.
And you see her, like, basically point a beam at a SWAT team guy, and you see his face change, and then something happens then to make explosions happen and all that sort of stuff. So I never played Heavy Rain, but, I mean, the look of this and the fact that they've got the girl in that was in Juno to take the main part in it really interests me. It's just going to be interesting to see whether they carry off all of the stuff that they got feedback from for Heavy Rain and do something about that.
Yeah, I mean, that really is the question for me as well. It's how much of this is going to be just Heavy Rain in a new story setting, or is it really going to be different gameplay? I'm hoping for different gameplay, and I'm intrigued. So
yeah, I mean, I had three standout games from the show, and this was one of them, along with Watchdog, and then I've got another one. But yeah,
okay.
I don't trust the developer. I don't trust them.
Okay, fair enough. Let's jump more into the Sony conference. So then they proceeded to, I believe, show off. They had the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. This again was something already put out there by Sony. In fact, much of what we saw at this conference really Beyond was the only game we didn't know that was coming. So that was, well, there's one other thing that we didn't know was coming, but we'll get to that in a minute. So PlayStation's All-Star Battle Royale, this to me underwhelms me just because I have no interest in this kind of game. But for those that like the kind of Smash Brothers beat-em-up game, this might be a fantastic title.
It's a fan service. It's a fan service. That's all it is.
Yeah. They did talk about PlayStation Plus getting a new update and kind of changing things around and offering up some new high-end games free to PlayStation Plus members to download, like Little Big Planet 2, Infamous 2, Saints Row 2, I believe, also part of it. They said they're going to be rotating in new games. So a nice way for them to, again, try to enhance PlayStation Plus. They then talked about, they had an extensive Assassin's 3 demo where they showed him on a ship, which was a twist. Yes, an actual ship, a seafaring ship. They had a high seas gun, cannon battle, I guess is the best way to put it, with two other ships. The only thing, it looked great, and it was a really cool idea. My one concern was, you know, you're taking these cannon shots at your ship, and it seems to damage it a little bit here and there. But it seemed like your cannon shots against the other ships were really, really effective.
Oh, well.
It's like one shot, that ship was going down.
Oh, well.
So, but it was an interesting spin on Assassin's Creed 3, and whoever's at the Lousy Gamer site, maybe kill that. So... Then we had, from there, they went on to talk about the Assassin's Creed 3 Vita Liberation game, which is their exclusive Vita game. And it's also getting bundled in with the White Vita. So some people were kind of excited about that. I know our friend Mr. Conger was kind of excited about the new PS Vita.
The Bets all had a decent game for the Vita coming out.
Yeah. Sadly, they did some kind of weird things at this conference. So we all thought they were going to be real heavy on the Vita. In fact, Vita was barely mentioned.
No, that says, I mean, that says look Sony to me. new hardware comes out, I just ignore it.
They had the Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation demo and showed that off. Then they talked about, you know, the Vita getting PS1 classics. They talked about some partners, YouTube and Hulu Plus coming, and a little bit of the cross control. And then they kind of glossed over the Call of Duty Black Ops declassified game, didn't show any of it, and that was pretty much it for Vita. From there, they talked about Far Cry 3 and demoed that out and showed off multiplayer co-op. Looked great. They then spent...
I found that quite interesting as well, because the thing that, you know, I know me and Mike's had conversations about too, where... You know, there's a lot of wandering around, doing nothing. This put me in mind of, you know, the two tribes in Lost, Mike? You know, about season two?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it seemed quite like that, where you've got
factions. I haven't watched the stuff for Far Cry 3, though, yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Far Cry 3 was kind of interesting, because the first glimpses we've seen of Far Cry 3, it looked like, you know, shipwrecked, you know... kind of tourists, you know, again, kind of walking into a bad situation type game. But then in this demo, you see almost kind of like the main protagonist is now rallying some of the native people of this island to go up against this other crazy guy. So, I mean, I honestly don't know. I only caught a brief part of the Far Cry 3 portion of it. So, Rich, I mean, if I'm getting that wrong, let me know. But that was my perception of what they were showing off.
The thing that was in it that was like the clincher at the end is it almost had a twist in it, where they were trying to hint at the fact that the main protagonist was could in actual fact be the guy that's the main enemy in it. So, leaving that a bit open about whether it's a fact that he's got some sort of personality disorder or whatever. But
right.
That's what I got from it. That seemed quite interesting. And the whole thing about not knowing much about these tribes and how they got there and what was the motives behind them being there in the first place, because they seem quite developed, but they're on, obviously, what's meant to be like a... junglified uninhabited island. So, yeah, it's possibly got some interesting aspects to the story. Just depends what they do with it.
Okay. The conference kind of carried on. There was three other games I'm going to talk about. Before I get to that, I'll cover over kind of the other nuts and bolts they went through. So they did talk about, remember how they had PlayStation Suite, which was their mobile phone development suite that they were getting everybody to make mobile games for?
What was that, PlayStation Suite?
Yes, which is now PlayStation Mobile.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, killed that name, and they announced a partnering with HTC, which is going to be their first phone carrier they're really getting in bed with.
Yeah.
They did have a little bit of PS Move support mentioned, but didn't really talk about it too much, with the exception of the one big Move reveal, if you will, which was Wonderbook.
Okay.
They went on probably 10 minutes too long with this demo.
How long was it, 10 minutes?
No, it was like 15 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, maybe they went 14 minutes too long with this demo. So this is a new way, and I don't know all the facts on it yet, but it appears you have to buy special books that when you open them up, the PlayStation Eye camera will look down on into it, very much like Eye of Judgment, and things will pop up from the book that you can, with the Move wand, interact with. And it's supposedly making an interactive story from this book. It's an actual book with a story in it that you can interact and play with. Very casual.
Judging what Sony have been up to before, this isn't going to take off.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was exceptionally excited for this. It was very much felt out of place compared to the rest of this conference, and they spent a ton of time on it. And, it was the on-stage, kid demo, too long, and it was just kind of like, okay, we get it. Let's move on.
Show us the blood, Sony, come on.
Well, speaking of blood, they then showed off God of War Ascension.
Yay.
And let me tell you, lots and lots of blood. This game was actually one of my more underwhelming games of the show.
Really?
It's not because it looked bad. It's not because it wasn't God of War. It's because it was God of War 3. I mean, if you told me this was God of War 3, I would have been like, okay.
More of the same.
It's completely more of the same. I know they have a multiplayer component to it, but, I mean, it was just him running around, ripping heads off all over again.
America.
And, yeah.
So, Greg, I've failed to see the negative points about this game. Yeah, I have no idea what's wrong with it.
Well, you know what? Maybe it's just because I was never a huge fan of the God of War series itself. It's pretty. It's good actiony game, but the story always left me very empty. So, but a game that did not leave me empty, Last of Us. So they finished up with a demo of Last of Us. This is the new Naughty Dog game. Very survival-ish. I won't say survival horror, although we know there are these kind of zombie-like infected people, beings, whatever.
Plants. Zombie plants.
So far in the demos we've seen, there haven't been any of them.
No.
It's been all interaction with humans.
Yeah.
It seems like they have gotten right what I Am Alive was trying to do.
Yeah, they went, that's a good idea for a game. Let's work on that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, scarcity of bullets, you're using the environment. It's not you're going to shoot hundreds and hundreds of guys Uncharted style. You're going to face up against two or three enemies at a time, but every time you face up against somebody, it feels life-threatening.
As soon as he shot his empty gun and it clicked, he's like, I know that sound, blah, 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 I'm coming out.
And a great other bit, he took out one guy and grabbed his gun, and you see him literally open up the gun and dump the bullets out into his hand and put it in his pocket.
Yeah.
Little things like that. Naughty Dog is great at the little details.
Oh, yeah.
This game was fantastic.
Looking good. It's looking really good.
It did highlight the theme of E3 so far, which was a lot of shooty, in-your-face, blood-and-guts kind of moments.
Yeah.
And The demo finishes up with him taking a sawed-off shotgun to a guy's face.
And the problem is...
Nothing.
Sweet.
Just, yeah. Looks fantastic. This is also one of the highlights for me. I think this game is looking and shaping up really well. Interesting enough, not one mention of 3D in the entire conference for Sony.
But Greg, Sony was pushing 3D a lot. What happened?
It's established. Everybody's loving it.
I think but usually, opposite, Rich. I think nobody cares, and they finally realized it.
I was joking.
Well, I mean, you know, I think kind of much like what Chris is saying. I think with also the shift inside of Sony, with Kaz Arai now running the ship, I don't think he's letting the TV division push as much as they probably were before, and certainly the TV division was the one pushing for 3D, because there was not one moment in this conference where they said, "Okay, put your 3D glasses on." It was just all standard.
Okay, put your blood and guts glasses on. It's The Last of Us. Yeah, that's what.
But yeah, so looking back at Sony, I mean, again, a solid conference, not great. Didn't like have me jumping up and down. I thought Beyond and The Last of Us were excellent. But
Beyond, Jesus.
I really was impressed with what I saw.
I don't trust them. I don't trust them. They're French. I don't trust them.
You can't trust them.
I mean, Naughty Dog, like, trust them all day. Here's all, you know, here's everything. Here's my bank account details. I don't trust them. Everything.
But yeah, I mean, I literally would rank them right next to Microsoft in terms of being a solid, decent performance. I would put it at a B as well. Maybe I'm being generous on both fronts. Maybe they're more like C's. But, you know, I didn't walk away from it going, oh, my God, that was horrible. I didn't walk away from it going, oh, my God, best conference ever. So, they did well. They did well enough for what they needed to do, in my opinion.
Were there any cringe moments, Greg, in the whole of E3?
Wonder Book was definitely a cringe moment.
Okay.
I will say that for sure. Wonder Book absolutely was a cringe moment.
Shut the fuck up. Was that what was happening?
Yeah, and EA, when they announced Battlefield 3, that was also cringeworthy because it was just kind of like, you know, Peter Moore's on there trying to sell this as something exciting, and you could just feel the audience just being like, oh.
You wankers.
Yeah.
You wankers. Why did you do this to this franchise? Yeah, I've got a question. Yeah, because I missed the Sony one live, and I did see on game trailers and that a lot of stuff about Dishonored. So where did that pop up, and what was everybody's reaction to that?
Dishonored has popped up like independent of an actual press conference.
Was it right?
Yeah, I have to tell you, after seeing everything I've been seeing. Dishonored isn't, oh my God, I can't wait to get my hands on that game.
Greg,
right now.
You are wrong. The concept and the artwork for that game is possibly one of the best games I've ever seen. So,
Rich, I would agree with you. I love the concept.
Wrong.
The artwork I saw prior to looked fantastic. What I saw in a most recent demo didn't stand up to be like the best graphics I've seen. It didn't stand up, and I mean, it looked kind of Bioshocky.
And there's something really wrong with that?
No, I didn't.
Industrial meets medieval. Great stuff.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying Dishonored, while looking good, isn't wowing me as much as it was previously. And I don't know the influence of some of these other games, but I was much more interested in watching Tomb Raider than I was Dishonored.
No, not me. I really like the look of that.
We can agree to disagree. I've been doing it all day long with other people.
Yeah.
I still. All right,
what's the big debate that you've been having with Stu?
over Sony versus the Microsoft conference and people saying that, you know, Microsoft showed less games and
Sony
showed...
So what does Stu think? Does he think that they didn't...
Well, there was a comment was made about Sony showed more games. The reality is Sony showed less games than Microsoft. But Stu came back with the "it's about the quality, not the quantity" comment. And I know he thinks very highly of Beyond and The Last of Us.
He thinks highly of Sony. Well, like, he pretends that he's not a fanboy, but he likes to back up Sony now and again.
Oh, I called him out too.
But like, but yeah, it is quite the whole story. I enjoy story, blah blah blah. So he'll be all over that Beyond nonsense.
And rightfully so. You know, I'm in with Stu on that. I think Beyond has true potential to be a great game. I want to see more.
It's an uphill battle with me, that is. They're really going to try and impress me with that.
I'll say this. I'm not pinning game of the show on that game at all. I need to see more before that gets that kind of consideration. Mm. All right, let's talk Nintendo and try and wrap this long segment up.
Sell me, Greg. Sell me on Nintendo. Go.
Nintendo was a long laundry list of games. So Nintendo came out on stage and said, we're going to show you 23 titles coming to the Wii U today.
Sweet.
Right now. They also, in kind of a separate announcement within the show, said 3DS, we'll talk about three games, but then basically we're going to have its own hour-long press conference tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Completely left the 3DS out of this conference. What they did talk about with the 3DS, though, is Super Mario Bros. 2,
yay.
Paper Mario Sticker Star, and Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
That's a 3DS game.
Yep, all 3DS games. And then they did talk about Castlevania. There's a Castlevania Lords of Shadow game,
okay.
A new Epic Mickey 3DS game,
okay.
Scribblenauts Unlimited,
maybe.
Coming to the 3DS, and Kingdom Hearts 3D. And then beyond that, nothing. So that's your 3DS coverage. Nintendo talked to, early on, they opened up the show with a Pikmin 3 demo. So Pikmin, as promised, made it to
Yay! I love Pikmin.
Looks pretty good. I can't say, there really didn't feel like any game in the Nintendo conference that I said to myself, God, I need to be using a Wii tablet to play this game.
Apart from Pikmin.
Well, yeah. Best game okay.
ever. I love Pikmin. Sure. Oh,
so Pikmin 3 looks good, Mike.
Yes.
Looks good in HD. They announced some video partners, so they're trying to do the entertainment system as well. So Amazon, YouTube, Netflix coming to the Wii U, as well as other unannounced. So there you go. They said the Wii U, they talked a little bit about the pad itself. They said the Wii U will support two pads, so two of the Wii U pads, whereas before they said it would only support one. The Wii U pad has analog sticks now. It has gyro, rumble, a built-in camera, a built-in mic, a volume control, as well as a headset jack.
Is it a washing machine, Greg?
It might. So it has a lot of nice little features, nice little touches that I think were additions or enhancements to what initially was announced. I think most notably the analog sticks, I think, are going to go a long way in helping this. Ironically, the previous night, Nintendo had hosted, Sunday night, Nintendo hosted this kind of half-hour Nintendo-specific talking about the Wii U and talking about the console. They announced a Wii U Pro controller, which, when you look at it, at first glance, you would think it's the Xbox 360 controller, except for the thumbsticks are placed, instead of one on the top left and one on the bottom right, they're both on the top side. So top left, top right, and then all the buttons and the D-pad are below the thumbsticks. So different, but basically the same size and style of controller as the Xbox 360 controller. They said that will be used for more traditional controller-based games if you want. Pretty sure it's not shipping with the console, so it's a peripheral you can buy, you know. We already have stuff to buy. They talked about Wiiverse, the home screen, which basically is when you start up the console, all of your friends in the Wiiverse, you see their Miis on the screen congregating around different logos for the kind of different app areas of the console. I mean, nothing over the top crazy. And then they started getting into the games, and we'll talk about that now. So Super Mario Brothers U,
yay.
They demoed on screen. Good-looking Super Mario Brothers game.
Looks
absolutely.
Sweet. Did look sweet.
Good. Batman Arkham City Armored Edition coming to the Wii. They demoed it up on stage.
What's the difference?
I can honestly say this is one of those games where you look at it and you're like, why would I need a Wii Pad to play this? They basically use the Wii Pad to do kind of inventory things. You use it to X-ray and kind of use it to solve puzzles, if you will, or spray the foam, the exploding foam that usually Batman sprayed on the wall in the Batman symbol. And then, you know, you would trigger it to explode.
Right.
Well, he can do that now using the Wii Pad.
You know, it was easier, just pressing the button that he did it.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I will say, one cool little feature was that you could set up multiple bombs and then activate them individually by pressing the Wii Pad for the corresponding bomb. So you could set up, say, four bombs on the ground, and you don't have to set them all off at once, which would normally be what would happen with the gamepad. You could set them off individually, depending on which one you want to set off first. But other than that, looks like Batman Arkham City, plays like Batman Arkham City. If you've already played it before, not really much reason to go back and play this version. Scribblenauts Unlimited, they announced as well, talked about this will be coming on the Wii U as well as the 3DS. I believe it's going to be cross-compatible. They then did a Wii montage of third-party games coming to the Wii U, showed off kind of gameplay, if you will, or trailers of the games, but nothing significant, real quick, you know, little tidbits of all the games. So Darksiders 2, Mass Effect 3, Tank Tank Tank, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, Trine 2, The Director's Cut, Ninja Gaiden 3, Razor's Edge, and Aliens Colonial Marines. Kind of underwhelming little list of games there, if you ask me, because, again, all games that have either already come out on console with the PS3 or 360, or...
It's funny how they finally caught up when this generation is just going to end.
Yeah, that was kind of the feeling I got with watching that list.
Brilliant.
They then went on to talk about Wii Fit and how you're going to now have Wii Fit U, which is their new version of Wii Fit, and you can also buy a Wii Fit meter, which you can then use to upload your exercising into the Wii Fit pad and transfer that into the game. Again, another little peripheral for you to buy if you want.
The thing that seemed dated with all of that is as well is, and I think What's-His-Face made a mistake here, when he was talking about the Wii Fit board, he was almost belittling it and making it seem like it was dated in the way he's talked about it. And then the guy comes out and actually starts using it. So you're still expected to use the Wii Fit board, but you're integrating it with the new pad. So that just seemed like a little bit of a mistake.
Yeah, the other thing I found peculiar with their demo of the Wii Fit U was that you took the Wii Fit pad and he put it out like to use it in front of him, but he had it on a stool that was like 3 feet tall, and had that in front of him on the Wii Pad. I think a lot needs to be learned about how exactly you're going to integrate the Wii U pad with the Wii Fit pad and this game and making it all work. And I should say, and this is kind of going off on a tangent, I apologize, but one of the other big things about the Wii U pad is this transferring of games that you'll be able to literally take a game that you're playing on screen on the TV and transfer it into the Wii Pad and play it on the Wii Pad and allow somebody else to play to watch a movie or whatever they wanted to do on the TV. They showed it off. Seems like it works great. My one big question mark on this is that a lot of these games that they've been showing off the Wii Pad for, they're using the Wii Pad as a secondary screen. So, like in Batman, it was your inventory screen, and you know other games, it's going to be your inventory screen or you know a radar in Aliens, you know Colonial Marine, that's your sensor screen. What happens when I'm transferring the game to the Wii Pad? Where does that screen go? How do I lose that functionality? Is that game just not going to work? So some questions that kind of came up to me during the conference. But moving forward. A lot more titles to go through here. So Sing, which is a working title, which is basically their Wii Dance Central rock band kind of thing, that you use the Wii pad to basically tell other people using the Wiimotes what dance moves they have to perform. Yeah, if you're kind of confused, I was too when I was watching this.
And it's great. It's something as well that came out with Just Dance as well when they was talking about their new game. So,
yeah, it's very casual application.
I'm sure we'll find out when we all buy it.
Yes, yes. Game that looked really good to me: Lego City Undercover.
Yep.
They're gonna have a 3DS version as well, apparently. Looks fantastic. Lego Universe, like GTA. GTA Lego. Think that, Mike.
Yeah.
That was what we saw, and it looks
so
awesome.
Here's my money.
I'm getting that for my son, definitely.
Yeah.
For your son, for your son, Rich. Yeah, yeah.
I'm me.
So they did show off, of course, Just Dance 4, which we talked about. Zombie U, we talked about that before the Ubisoft conference. Assassin's Creed 3 also coming to the Wii U. Looked good. Rabbids Land, again. These are all the Ubisoft stuff. They kind of had a nice, big, long Ubisoft moment. So these are all the games we talked about before, but Your Shape Evolved 2013, Rayman Legends, Sports Connection, and Avengers for Battle for Earth. And then they wrapped everything up with a very long, protracted explanation of Nintendo Land. I'm still confused about Nintendo Land. From what I can tell, it seems to be like an amusement park, think Sony Home kind of hub.
Oh, God.
Where you can go in with your Mii and play all of these kind of mini game tech demos and just be social in there. And that was my take on it. Rich, did you have a different take?
Yeah. That as well, but it also seemed like, you know, when they brought the Wii out and you had, like, Wii Play that was, like, giving you a load of, like, mini-ish type games and stuff. So what they've done is they've picked a lot of the key characters from the whole of the Nintendo family and just basically said, we're going to just do a load of little games that you can play and get used to the pad with. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Nintendo. Overall, actually, I really thought Nintendo was probably going to be the most impressive conference, and I came away with this actually putting them below Microsoft and Sony.
No one's impressed with the Wii U, by the sounds of it. I think everybody was waiting to like see what that was going to be all about, and no one's really impressed. Yeah.
That was my real biggest issue with this conference, was I really expected Nintendo to sell me on the Wii U being a great console that I'm going to want to pick up, and I think the lack of them winning me over with the software that I saw, coupled with the fact that they still haven't given me a release date or a price point to get excited about or afraid of, maybe that's the case, I just walked away from it going, okay, Wii U is still exactly where it was before I came into E3, which is a console that I have some interest in, but not too much, and probably not going to pick it up based on the fact that everything I would want to play, I can already play on a different console.
Yep.
Rich, anything you want to add in there?
Not really. I mean, I don't want to poo-poo it too much, but I think the most exciting thing for me was the fact that I was seeing Mario looking so sweet, and I look forward to playing that with the little lad, but I can't see that, and that would be the 3DS version, so I can't see me going out to get, there was nothing there that made me think, this Christmas I need to get one of these things for my kids.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And especially, again, like I said, not having a price point associated with it was just, if they had come out and said, hey, this is going to be $250, I might have been remotely excited about that. That's a pretty good price point for what I was seeing there. But not knowing that this, what this is going to cost, it's hard for me to get excited about this tech that doesn't feel like it's taking a big generational
leap. Maybe they don't know.
Well, the key thing they've got to bear in mind is this Christmas will be the key one where all of the kids will be going to the mums and dads and asking for iPads. So their price point has got to be pretty tight.
Yep, yep, agreed. All right, we are done with E3, but we're going to chime into the community after the break and find out what the community had to say.
Aye.
So give us just a few, and we'll be back.
Fortune soldier who was far, far away.
See war and fortune soldier who was far, far away.
Xbox 360, it was the very same day I purchased Halo 3. I fell in love with the chief, man, I would play it all night. Matchmaking, campaigning, trying to finish the fight. But when I got to the end, I thought, man, this ain't fair. This should be a happy moment, but the chief is not there. They got their guns in the air, they break the silence with shots. Gunfire, a reminder of a life that was lost. How can it be? It's like I found a friend in Master Chief. So many hours invested, so many nights without sleep. I'm ranking up, getting 50s and doubles. Without the Chief by my side, my heart, it feels a little troubled. He's supposed to be the savior of us all, but now he lays the rest and we're just supposed to move along. It's like in some ways I feel I actually know him. My heart is crying out, Chief, come home. Chief, come home.
When you stop this. When you come home, I'll hide it good. I'll never cry again. When you come home to me.
We're going to talk community mailbag.
Community mailbag. Yes.
Yes. Question for this week's show was basically, what did you think of all the E3 announcements? We knew we were going to be getting late responses on this because, of course, E3 happened at the beginning of the week, and we recorded on a Tuesday night. But we did get some tweets over the course of the weekend and leading up to this, which I threw in as much as possible, and we had some great responses on the gates forum. So we're going to dive into it first with the tweets. Rich, try and make as much sense as you can from it.
Yeah.
Some are in responses to things that you, I think, were tweeting out.
Yep. Some are completely unrelated to E3, so just whip through these. Mr. Defice was talking about Ghost Recon on Saturday night, and he said he really wanted to hook up with us, so I was just basically getting his gamer tag off him, and he was just saying that his wife had hijacked his original one, so he sent me another one. And then he was asking what the last thoughts, our thoughts were on the last mission of the campaign, which unfortunately for me, because I've been too busy playing the multiplayer, I have no clue as to
yeah.
my thoughts because I've not played it yet.
It's unfortunate, I think, for all of us. None of us have completed the campaign yet. But, hey, I'll do my best to complete that by next podcast.
And
No promises.
He'll be in a better position to piss us all off when he does play with us by giving us some spoilers. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then also we got from Maverick F20, he was replying to the fact that I had no problem being all peaceful like in Minecraft, and I had an issue with the fact that he had no problem shooting me in the face on Saturday night, and he basically put, yeah, I got lucky, I was so angry at Murphy's Law for killing me time after time with grenades. Greg?
I do like my grenade launcher.
Yeah.
I was using that effectively.
Yeah.
That grenade launcher sucks, by the way.
Confused.
And then we had Godhand PS2. That's the nodding penguin. Said, check out the OC podcast and Return Fire PC. Both their latest episodes are really E3 focused, and we'll be carrying on with that tonight, as you can see. So
yes,
and then we had Alan Bennett, who's Master Zulu, on the net, who ever has the least laggy stream, hoping it's better than last year. By the way, beat your time on Roller Coaster.
Yes,
laggy. I would say this, I've got a comment, because I did watch a lot of them live. I didn't like the Microsoft one, because it kept cutting out on me through my Xbox, whereas game trailers provided great streams, and I loved the fact that they had all the interaction. They had a good set of, they had the Molyneux was on with them,
right,
which was really good. Sessler as well, I like him, because I've heard him a few times on Giant Bomb and that. Adam Sessler, so I'm glad he was there, and overall great coverage. I really enjoyed the game trailers.
Yeah.
Spike TV.
Yeah, game trailers did well. It seemed like, I believe, they just took their actual TV broadcast and were streaming that live on the net. It was no different than their actual TV coverage.
Yeah, it was really good.
So that was, it was good.
Yep. And then we had one from Gangu Crimes. Only practical and possible useful bit of tech was the smart glass and the web browsing on the Xbox. Chinny can watch porn on his Xbox now.
Yeah. Yes, you can, Chinny.
Yeah, porn's overrated.
next up was Kevin Knight, Nitrical XL. He said, OC Murphy's Law and OC Podcast. Darn too late for an email. To sum up this year's E3, meh. Loved the look of Halo 4 and Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs, definitely one to check out.
Yeah. Agreed.
That looks sweet.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the tweets. And Mr. Matthew, why don't you lead us into the gate responses?
Into the ever stranger never world that is the Gaming for the Elderly Forum. Starting off with Andy 93285, who is a chatterbox. He says, having watched most of the first day, I think the best way to describe it as, air quotes, slightly underwhelming. I love this word underwhelming that we've invented recently. It's okay. Microsoft conference wasn't as expected, really, but the thing that probably surprised me most was that to dance like Usher in Dance Central 3, it looks as though you really need a cattle prod up your arse to carry out those moves. Halo 4, Black Ops 2, very polished, but we've seen them before. Yawn. Ascend Gods, parentheses, clever play on God of War Ascension there. Having thought about it, looks okay if it has some RPG in it. If it's just a slash and hack, I think I'll pass. Forza Horizon looks, well, like Forza on roads. EA, in my opinion, were poor. Sequel, 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 remake, sequel, and a premium service for a game gutted like Milburn from Prometheus. I think that's just if you haven't seen Prometheus.
Spoiler.
Battlefield 3, Watch Dogs from Ubisoft was probably the highlight of the day, along with Assassin's Creed 3. Sony had a decent show. Last of Us, sorry, was impressive and beyond looked interesting. I think this year's E3, as soon as it became apparent there would be no new console announcements, lost a bit of its excitement and interest, hence my, air quotes, slightly underwhelming review, as I didn't expect much. Hopefully next year's version will have a pair of shiny new consoles and, most importantly, some new intellectual properties. Yes, well said. Great. Go ahead.
Just to cut in, I think we did overshadow a bit the whole driving thing. I really did like the look of Forza, because although I've gone along a lot with the guys that are into the Sims and stuff, at heart I'm into my arcade stuff, and the way they had the Forza Horizon set up looked really nice. A nice casual thing. I think you could get into this sort of thing as well, Chin. You know, because it's open world and all of that lot.
It
had cool things that they'd obviously taken from Forza itself. With, you know, how they had the panorama thing where you can go in and check out your cars, and you have info popping off like lights and stuff with lines and text. Well, they've actually got that in game, so you can see. Say you've just done a long jump, it'll give you the reading and the stats for that whilst you're getting chased and doing races and stuff. So I really like the look of the Horizon. And I also like the look of the Need for Speed Most Wanted.
I think I left that one off the EA press conference. Both actually remind me a lot of Burnout.
Yeah.
They had that Burnout kind of feel. And Need for Speed... you could probably say is the successor to Burnout Paradise City. And Forza Horizons had kind of that feel, because they were starting to show off some crazy crashes and stunts. And so let's hope it's going that direction, because I think that's a welcome return.
Yep.
Sorry, Chris, carry on.
Oh, don't be sorry to me. Be sorry to Greggy. You interrupted him. He says, why is everyone worried about a new console being launched right now? Look at the quality of software and interfaces currently in development and showcased at E3, and you can see the old girl still got some life in her yet. I spent hundreds of pounds on 360 games and equipment and don't want another generation rumor making it fit for the dustbin yet. As far as remakes and sequels are concerned, you know that if a new console were to be launched, Microsoft would be knocking straight on Epic and Activision's door for a killer IP rehash of Gears and Call of Duty. So personally, I'm happy I don't have to start thinking about lobbing my setup into the last-gen graveyard for the moment. For me, I was most pleased with Ubisoft releasing sequels to two of my three favorite franchises. With that, Ghost Recon Future Soldier currently occupying my time. I'm excited for Rainbow Six Patriots, and Splinter Cell Blacklist. Those executions look awesome. I presume our American cousins are stoked at the NHL, NFL, NBA, and ESPN updates. No. No real news of any substantial European updates, though, which is why my only disappointment, I suppose. Okay, not a revolutionary E3, but with the Smart Glass and the Kinect developments on show working really well, you can see that the 360 powerhouse has been fully realized. I still think it's a really exciting time to own an Xbox 360. Well said, sir.
Yes. Interesting enough, Rainbow Six Patriots completely gone from E3. Not at all at the show.
Because it's the rainbows, dude. They operate in the shadows.
They have to wait for the rain? All right, moving on.
Have you seen the rain? In an uncharacteristically short response, David the Alien says, I can honestly say I was or am a bit gutted, especially with Microsoft. Was looking forward to tons of game announcements, etc., and for the first hour, besides Gears, was all Smart Glass, Kinect, etc., which in turn had me switched off completely. I understand Greg's and Andy's points above, both very valid. Wasn't too impressed with anything besides Ubisoft. They are winners for me. EA just lost me with Battlefield paid service, which had me riled up. Changes to FIFA were interesting, but going to purchase it anyway, so not bothered. FIFA. That looked really interesting for Xbox, and honestly, that's about it. Only watched most of Microsoft, EA, and Ubisoft's conferences, and no interest in Nintendo or Sony, so can't comment on those. And then Greggy says, in view of the good points made in Dave's post above, I do not have, nor do I intend, to purchase a Kinect sensor. I don't like them, to be honest, so how are any new interfaces will work without one? God only knows. Frowny face.
Frowny face, yes. Which, in turn, Marcanix responded. And he said, I have to be honest, Greggy, the Kinect integration is getting better. The voice commands are really, really intuitive. And the gunsmith in Ghost Recon Future Soldier is just awesome. You feel like you are in a Minority Report. Lol. And the hardware is getting cheaper, too. I will disagree with Marcanix as well. Gunsmith, for me, felt very underwhelming using Kinect. It worked, but I don't want to have to stand up to use that. I thought for sure they would integrate it with sitting down. So it felt very tacked on. Voice command stuff does work from my perspective, but anyway, let's continue on. Steve O'Matic chimed in, again responding to Greggy. It says, wait for Kinect 2, Greggy. Although the integration is better, it's still a giant pain to use for me. You need to have the proper space, the proper lighting, the proper distance, the proper posture, etc., etc. Just a giant pain. I just want to sit in front of the thing and have it recognize me and work with the location inside of my the location I'm in instead of vice versa. I'm guessing next version of it will be able to accomplish this. As for E3, meh. Some pretty cool demos, some in-game vids, but other than that, and the Samsung announcement of incorporating Gaikai into their sets, not much was interesting. The Samsung announcement totally makes sense, and with their money supporting cloud gaming, I think it may finally hit a new level where it's a viable option for me. So that was an announcement outside of this. Remember how everybody was rumored that Sony was going into bed with a cloud gaming service? Well, that never happened. But apparently Samsung made a deal with Gaikai to do streaming games coming to it. So you have Gaikai and Samsung partnered, and Vizio and OnLive are partnered up. Who knows? But anyway, moving on to his email, I wasn't interested in Assassin's Creed 3 or The Last of Us, but the sea battle in Assassin's Creed 3 and the gameplay demo for The Last of Us were impressive. I'm ready for the next gen, though. After getting into PC gaming again, going from high detail 1080p at 60 frames a second for games to the fuzzed out graphics of the 360 is jarring. Playing on the 360 now makes me feel like I need glasses. Next gen should be equal to what the PCs can do now, which is what I want.
Fuzzed out, he needs to get some Minecraft down his neck.
So
that or a better TV.
I have to kind of agree with him, though, because like, I haven't played Skyrim on the console, but I can't imagine that the console would be able to get the kind of resolution that the PC can get on Skyrim. And even just now, right?
Absolutely.
I just fired up Saints Row the Third, and you can tell that the console was kind of the lead skew on Saints Row the Third, because the difference in resolution between Skyrim and Saints Row the Third, although Saints Row the Third looks amazing, it's really, you can really tell.
Fair enough. I don't think any of us would ever disagree that a PC version right now is not going to look better than a console game.
But I'm not ready to abandon my console just yet either. I just need a better TV, because I have a tiny little 23-inch television that doesn't work. I mean, it works, but from 8 feet away, you can't see it.
Last but not least, ParsnipNose3000 chimed in. E3 is on. What? You mean something is happening outside of my Minecraft existence? P.S. Typing this reply used valuable mining time, so I hope you appreciate it. P.P.S. Greg, I demand that you buy Minecraft, you old stick in the mud. Demand all you want. I don't know that I'm going to pick up Minecraft. I don't know that I'm going to... just don't know. I mean, 2 million people have bought it so far.
I don't think it's your cup of tea, Greg.
Actually, according to Minecraft's website, 6.7 million people have bought it so far, but I think that's across all platforms.
That is correct, yes. You are absolutely right. 2 million people have bought it up on Xbox Live, apparently, and it's doing well. Yeah, quite a success. Okay. Well, that is it for the forum responses and emails, all that good stuff. So our question for next week, and again, kind of just transitioning ourselves right on through E3 and wrapping it up nicely with a big bow, which is, now that everything's out, and by now you will have seen everything from E3, including all of the games being announced later in the week. What was your best game or your most anticipated game now after E3? I know coming into this, Dishonored was high on my list, but as we were talking about before, not as much anymore. So what is your new game that you're most, you know, most anticipating, looking forward to? I'd be interested to hear what the community has to say to that. And with that said, Mr. Matthew, community playdates, take us there.
I would, but nobody's doing anything except playing Minecraft. There is a new painting challenge out there. The Saint 502 has put up a very specific challenge. He has a very specific model of car that he wants you to do whatever you want to do with, and we'll see who does the best. I believe it's a Toyota Celica Supra, but I can't recall the year right off the top of my head. You'll have to go to the forums to see it, which brings me to my next point. We don't have any new forum members this week, so if you've been listening to the show and haven't dove into the forums yet, what are you waiting for? Happy birthday this week to Meggie Man, Butterfly Kisses, Crimson Ninja, Charles, and Greggy. And last week, I think we missed Lothian for happy birthday. So happy birthday, Lothian. It was yesterday.
If we missed it, yes.
It'll be 3 days ago by the time this podcast gets released, but whatever.
Ever.
That's that.
Okay. Well, we do have a spotlight, so let me play that right now from Mr. Parsnip Nose.
Hello, everybody. This is Parsnip Nose with another weekly community spotlight, and it's a bit of a jumbo-sized one this week. Firstly, congratulations to CP and Katie on the birth of their baby, and of course to Sean and to my phone for making that noise while I'm recording this, and to Sean for being a big brother, the littlest big brother in New York State. Anyway, well done, Sean. Congratulations to Cardinal for winning the R2 championships, and thank you to Ginge for setting it up. Congratulations to the team who won the F1 Arcady championship. I don't quite know how they won because I was in their team, so extra special congratulations for managing to win with me on it. The winners were Inf the Bro, Andy, Shiny, who I stood in for, Harvey Dan, and You're the Shed. And the people who came a long, long, long distance second, i.e. last, and didn't win, unlike us, was David the Alien, Rogue One, Marcanix, Quidgy, and Artful Codger. So, well done to us, I say. Aren't we great? And the other team, try harder next time, honestly. And thank you to Thupa, Dino, Corzan, and Bagham for hosting the Minecraft server. They've volunteered to take some of the weight off Mark's shoulders and my shoulders, and we really appreciate that. So thank you, guys. And Bagham's also stumped up some cash to help pay for the G4TE account, so that's really good of him. Anyway, that's it for now. If you have a nomination for the weekly spotlight, by all means contact me and tell me, either through personal message on G4TE or, well, you know, Xbox Live, Parsnip Nose 3000, you'll know how to reach me. Anyway, that's it for now. Until next week, apologies for the very long recording and waffly and rambliness of it. But, you know, that's just me, isn't it? Till next week. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for that, Parsnip. And, yeah, it's time to wrap this show up, guys. So, Mr. Chin, if you were going to email this show,
yeah,
what email would you use to get a message to us that hopefully I don't delete and or, you know, accidentally miss? Like, say, somebody like Metric Pizza's emails.
Oh, that one. Oh, that was a funny message, by the way, last week.
And that was actually Phil. That was Phil Olson.
Oh.
Apparently, I have missed two different people's emails. I don't know how, but yeah.
Huh. Well, if you want to email the show, email us with the email address ocpodcast@gmail.com. It's easy. Just email us. Tell us what you think of the E3 games and stuff.
And to be safe, maybe you should send us a tweet when you do email us, just to make sure we know to look for it.
Oh, for God's sake.
And if you were going to do that, Rich, what would your Twitter be?
It would be @OC_podcast.
Yes, and if you wanted to leave an angry-ass voicemail for me like Phil did, Mr. Matthew, what phone number would you use to put that kind of message on?
The one in the show notes that I'm not looking at. Hold on a second.
That probably would be something like 626-50-OC-POD.
That was what I was going to say. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Or you could even call 626-506-2763.
You could.
Yeah, and a little news flash for those of our UK-friendly type listeners. That made no sense, but hey, just deal with it. Apparently, Skype is kind of a nice little way around the whole having to pay a lot of money to call that line.
Yeah, you know what else you can do? You can just record an MP3 on your iPhone and text it to one of us. Or email.
You could also do that. Yes. Yes, you could. iTunes and Zune reviews. Yeah, I didn't look. But we do need them. We do want them.
Actually, we don't want Zune reviews anymore. We want
Xbox music reviews. all right. Let's wrap this up. Shout outs. Mr. Matthew, start us off.
I'm going to shout out the world because I have nothing else to say. Mike.
Oh, brilliant. I'm going to shout out, hey, Beaver, I hate you, which is why I've been struggling to talk all episode. I'll shout out everyone who's been playing Minecraft, John Mouse, who's put snow in my house, and I've just written the word fanny outside of his house. I'll shout out Skulldugra, Parsnip Nose, Bogar the Sane, Bang of Assassin, Maverick, who else? Dana. I'm just playing with everyone Minecraft. It's great. So, Primrose, go.
sorry. I'll just shout out everybody on the Twitters for providing...
Twitter it.
Yeah, constant amusement during the E3s. And everybody here, because this has been surprisingly... short podcast, and it's just flown by. Great stuff,
and it's chocked full of goodness.
Yeah,
packed.
Packed might be a good way to put it. Yeah,
stacked and you done to the max. Yeah, that's me done. Greg, do you want to go?
Sure, why not? Want to shout out Phil Egan for promoting the show to good old Nodding Penguin. Metric Pizza, I apologize. I'm not trying to miss those emails. I do apologize. Shout out to everybody that joined us for Ghost Recon. That was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. We definitely have to do that again. And I think that's it, guys. I think we can wrap this up.
Sweet.
We're done.
Bye-bye, everyone. Je m'en fous.
Buena not.
Say something, Chris.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's shoot Mike a message. Mike.
So is it the four of us? It's the proper four.
The proper four.
We should come up with a theme song.
You should make it. I will sing it.
Challenge accepted.
Now I'm very afraid, but I will stand by my word, damn it. Okay, Kevin Knight. Send us lots of tweets. So I don't know where, by the way, Metric Pizza's emails have gone, but I have not seen anything from him. I've seen him send us a couple tweets over the past few weeks.
Oh, I've heard that one before.
Yeah, you know. yeah. All right, so what we've been playing. Mr. Matthew, has anything changed beyond Skyrim? Mr. Matthew's not with us?
Oh, my bad.
Hello.
The mute button.
There you go. You can see on the
there you go.
Yeah, you'll see a big spike in the silence man.
Yeah, exactly.
That was very exciting.
I have to tell you, I am fucking struggling here. I'm sneezing so much. Jesus Christ.
Alright. So we'll jump into the question. Rich, you'll read the tweets off.
I need to, can we have 5 minutes?
Sure. Jump off.
Yeah.
Do what you gotta do.
Okay.
Do what you gotta do.
I think. Can you guys hear me?
No. Can't hear him. Can hear you.
Pamela, why are you doing this to me?
You're deliberately keeping the Minecraft content out of this, aren't you, Greg?
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.